It's episode 24 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded March 17th, 2015. What's Allison watching?
Allison,
what is going on?
You're here on the TV Dudes.
What? It's I'm a TV dude now.
Yeah.
This is official.
I'm a TV dude.
You are a TV dude. You watch TV.
I watch so much freaking
TV. You watch a lot of, yeah. You said, we were out and you said, I watch a lot of TV. And I'm like, oh, sure, she watched a lot of TV. And then she said the list. I'm like, oh, she watched a lot of TV.
That is a lot of TV.
I pretty much, well, I don't have regular TV. I don't cable.
Yeah.
I'm a cord cutter.
It's very impressive the amount of TV you watch then.
Yeah.
But we have all the services.
Hulu, so
we've got
Netflix.
Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, and
Chop Chop.
Yep.
Bing Bong.
Whatever.
Click Clack. I'm just making shit up at this point.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You should just be a startup company like Idea Machine.
Things. Yeah.
Just throw out names for them.
I can pitch my TV ideas to them, and then
you guys are gonna be called Nerp Nerp.
You guys are Nerp Nerp, and your show's about werewolves.
It's always about werewolves.
Boom. Nice.
You have one idea, and it's pretty solid.
I have a variety of werewolf ideas, sir. What about my werewolves on Madison Avenue idea?
That's amazing. I'd watch that.
Yeah, see?
It's a good idea.
I stay up all night, and because I'm a Dracula now, I'm unemployed, so my awake hours are between 1 o'clock in the afternoon and 4 or 5 in the morning.
Those are my hours, too.
And I watch a shit ton of TV.
Yeah.
You guys.
Because TV is awesome.
Yeah.
You guys both are running the same weird ass hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's the benefit of owning your own comic shop. You can live on Dracula hours.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because I've been on Dracula hours since I was a teenager, but I had to force myself into the non Dracula hours.
Ugh.
Yeah, and it sucks.
Oh, that's rough.
I'm on toddler hours.
Yeah.
Which means
24
I get
hours
up
a day.
At like 7 in the morning and I go to sleep at 2 in the morning because I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, it's like, oh, me time always punishes later in the day. I'm like, oh, I'll deal with it tomorrow, but I never just get enough sleep.
No, you're present Grant, and you're like, fuck future Grant.
Yeah.
Future Grant's lame.
And future Grant's like, past Grant's an asshole.
Well, we didn't actually introduce you.
No,
oh,
we just kind of jumped into this. This is Allison Murphy.
Hi, I'm Allison Murphy.
Friend of the show. We used to do another podcast together called
Several.
The League of Extremely Ordinary Gentlemen.
It's the truth.
Yes.
Back in the day.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
And occasional Rage Select contributor.
Yeah, you're on Rage Select along with me.
Yeah.
Randy, you're not over there yet?
I've been on one live stream with Rage Select.
Oh.
That's it.
You're too mellow select for it.
Yeah, I'm too mellow select.
And what else you got going on?
Oh, in my life or, just
I guess in your
second life.
what about karaoke apocalypse?
Occasionally.
Yeah, you're the host.
We do a cool thing called karaoke apocalypse here in Austin, Texas. Mm. Live band, metal, punk rock, new wave, karaoke. That means you get to be the front man in a rock and roll band for 3 to 6 minutes.
And it's super awesome.
It's real
fun. I've done it a few times. It's always fun. Grant's done it, right?
Yeah. It's pretty fun. A couple of times I've gone up there as well and just like messed up the lyrics. But it's cool because they're just like playing so loud and rocking them.
Yeah,
like,
nobody tells.
Yeah,
nobody
you tells. Guys don't know what I'm saying anyway.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I am the hostess with the mostess. And that means that I will orchestrate the list, set up the playlist, and then announce you. And make jokes occasionally.
And you have to deal with the drunken slobs.
What's the policy on this podcast on swears?
Well, we're pretty fucking okay with it.
Okay. Yeah. Woo! Woo! Relief.
There's this button I always see that I'm supposed to check that says like there's expletives or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah.
Whatever.
Yeah. You'll find out.
You know, I've been really careful. I do a store podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm really careful not to drop F-bombs on that. but I really, that's not my natural state.
It's so hard,
it is,
right?
Right.
That word is so delicious.
It's perfect.
There's a funny, occasionally Karaoke Apocalypse will get hired to do private parties for folks. So,
like Eyes Wide Shut kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh. Exactly. It's cloaks. No.
What kind of songs would you sing for that?
Mostly Beck and Peter Gabriel. Yeah.
Nice. Deck and Dance. No, we were, I think it was a Google party. I can't remember. And they came up to us several times before they started. And they were like, okay, we know that you guys are kind of punk rock, but if you keep the swears to a minimum, we'd certainly appreciate that. And I was like, okay, I'll try really hard. First sentence out of my mouth, are you guys ready to fucking rock? And then I was like, oops.
You're like, that was the last one. That was the last one.
That was it. And then
I swear, I'm fucking done.
It's out.
That's exactly what happened. So I do that. I've also got a blog that I hopefully will have ready. The slings and arrows of website design are currently bogging me down, but I hope to have my blog live by next week.
Cool.
And what is the URL for the blog, or do you have that yet?
Well, yeah, that's the last thing to do, because that's when you got to pay the money.
So,
and so I'm running out the clock on that.
For?
Mamu, MAMMOO. Things
Mamu.
Mamu left me.
Okay.
And it's about me going through the storage shed full of all the shit that my grandmother left me when she died, and how hilarious it is.
Sorry, I started laughing before you got
to
the grandmother
funny.
Died part.
It's funny. It's funny in a morbid, kind of touching sort of way.
Yeah.
Like, Mamu, really, why did you leave me a box full of stained shag lavender bath mats? That's not something I would have needed in my life.
You know what they say, it's better to have a box of shag lavender bath mats and not need them
than
to need a lavender shag.
And have to pay,
they
you
should
know.
Really condense
that's
that
a saying. That's a saying,
it's
right? I think
thing.
I've heard it.
But that blog is getting live soon, and there's also going to be a website where people can commission me for arts and projects, and there's a top secret project or two that's in the pipeline and shall be revealed shortly. Follow me on Twitter.
Are you being sent to kill Kim Jong-un?
Oh my gosh, I wish. Okay. No.
At M. Allison
Murphy. Yeah, on the Twitters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, check that out. And we're going to jump into some iTunes shout-outs.
Yeah, this always goes well.
Yeah, after last week, maybe we can be a little cooler this week. Last week on the show, Allison, we got a rather unpleasant review.
It was a 3-star review.
It was not
like a bad review. It
and
was just...
we may have gone off a little bit about it.
Oh no!
But
if we're gonna talk about trolls, I got some great trolls.
I wouldn't say it was necessarily trolls having it.
No, we weren't having it.
That's all.
Nice.
Greg laid down the law.
So we'll skip anything that's not a 5-star review this week.
Yeah, just
we'll just focus on the good.
Okay.
All right. Dear TV dudes, this one comes from Bomber424. He says, love your show, funny, informative, and full of milk conspiracies. What more can you ask for in a TV podcast? Plus, I've been voting for you and Rage Select every day for the podcast awards.
Woo!
That is right. That's a good reminder.
Woohoo!
We aren't actually up for the podcast award.
What are you looking at me? I got nothing to do with this.
But I appreciate somehow you maybe have been voting for us for the podcast award. Cool.
I think he was saying he's voting for Rage Select, and he's talking about
maybe me, Beerus. Beerus and Rage Select, my other two podcasts, are up.
So I see all the podcasts you're on without me are up for podcast awards. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
I mean, I didn't want to pinpoint what was causing us not to get nominated.
All right.
But,
I'm going to come on Rage Select and ruin that too.
It is so uncomfortable in here. Yeah, we aren't up for a podcast award here. Thank you. But we, my other ones, Beerus under the food and drink category, and Rage Select with Allison. We're both on that. That's in the gaming category.
Yeah. I hear those are good. I don't listen to podcasts. So.
They're what?
I hear those are good, but I don't listen to podcasts. So, you know.
Yeah, I know. You're terrible. All right. Thank you for that. And our next one is from The TV Feels. He says, longtime listener, these guys always put me in a good mood. They're fun, insightful, and offer a fresh take on media. The hosts are funny, and the show has a relaxed feel I find very appealing. It feels like your old friends are talking to you. That's why I can't recommend it enough. Thanks a lot for having a great show, The TV Feels.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Thank you. And I don't know if I said it actually at the front of this, but what these people did, they went to iTunes, gave us a 5-star rating, and wrote a review. And as long as you give us a 5-star rating and write that review, we'll read it here on the show.
And there's a reason for that. We're not just narcissists. It's the 5 stars help us on our rankings and get more notice.
Yeah.
We don't just need the praise. We need the mechanics of it.
And the 4 and 3 star ones, I think, just spin us off into cuckoo land.
Yeah, they just suddenly no one knows we exist.
All right, moving on. We got listener questions here. So if you like us on Facebook and on Twitter, you guys can ask us questions. We ask for them once a week. Our first one comes to us from Fernando Rodriguez. It says, TV dudes, what are some sacred cow shows that you are lukewarm to, but everyone else loves to an insane degree? For him, it's Arrested Development.
All right, Allison.
Wow.
I know one of them.
You know.
Allison's got a lot of those.
I do. I am pretty specific on shows that I do and don't like. And I tend to not like dramas about grown-ups standing in rooms and talking to each other, because that's just too close to, I don't know, reality. Daily life, right? Like, you go to the bank,
sure,
you wait in line, you talk to other adults in rooms, and I don't really want to be entertained. That's not entertaining to me. Mm-hmm. The Sturm und Drang of human interactions isn't what floats my boat.
Yep.
So my sacred cow is Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's cool. Looks like we're out of time for this episode. Gotta go. Thanks for...
My question is, have you ever tried to watch Mad Men?
I also don't enjoy Mad Men.
Because that's got to be way off, because that took a while for me to get into. And that's got to be way... You want to talk about real life interaction.
Though, because I think that crosses a different path that I thought you would love, which is the costume porn. And set.
That's true, yeah.
It's all about it.
As someone who was educated in technical theater or production aspects of film, TV,
you've done costume design for films before, too.
Yeah, I've done costuming, and I put up with Downton Abbey for a long time just because of the fucking costume porn. Yeah. Like, I couldn't get, oh my gosh, bloomers, that's so amazing. And don't get me wrong, the art direction and the costuming on Mad Men is superb and beautiful, but...
It bores you to tears?
Bores me to tears. Somebody's sleeping with somebody. Oh, no. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Unless the person that they're sleeping with turns into a dragon or a werewolf.
Yeah.
And then you've got me.
Sure.
So.
You're going to love my Werewolves of Madison Avenue pitch.
I love it already. I'm telling you.
I think Downton Abbey is also a great one for me. I've never been able to get into
it. I haven't even tried because it just doesn't sound like my thing. That is probably that's my big sacred cow one that I've never tried, never bothered.
Yeah.
And you know what? One thing I can see might be an obstacle to certain people who aren't British is there's a lot of maybe political or historical stuff that's British that I don't know that we'd get. There's a lot of land ownership, royalty issues that we just don't have
referenced Prince Freddie.
So, and we just don't have the same kind of historical information informing our feeling.
I don't know who Dame Pippi is.
Yeah.
I don't know her.
Dame Pippi. I got nothing. I was going to go, but
Dame Pippi. Pippi Longstocking.
My stuff is older stuff. Like stuff that I respect but don't particularly enjoy. Like I Love Lucy, Mary Tyler Moore. I'm trying to think. MASH. All these shows that are good shows that
Cheers.
I just have no. I love Cheers.
I know
will
you
murder
love
you.
Cheers. Man, it's like anything with a laugh track though. I can't get into it.
No, it's fair.
I don't like
generation
Cheers either.
Demarcation for me.
And you know, the thing that bothers me about Cheers is the overacting in the jokes. Like all the jokes are like waka waka waka.
Yeah. It's a different time.
Yeah.
And I think this thing is I grew up on it.
Yeah.
I watched it when I was in high school and all that stuff, and it was perfect for me. I think if I came to it now, it wouldn't click with me the same way.
It's always weird to see because they're doing this in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah.
If you imagine taking out the laugh track,
yeah,
someone delivering a line and then just kind of standing
there. And just kind of waiting,
yeah.
It'd be so weird.
It'd be a little weird.
I have a friend of mine who's in his 20s, and he watches a lot of sitcoms. He's been going through a lot of sitcoms. And I tried to introduce him to news radio, which I love, but it was so old, you know, it's got these old patterns and stuff that he just couldn't get into it.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to our next question. This one comes from Gregory Matthew Ramirez. He says, with iZombie premiering this week, what smaller or lesser known comics would you like to see adapted for the small screen? Follow up, what network would be the best match for your choices adaptation? He personally would go with Chew and put it on Showtime.
Of course, that would have been great. Yeah.
It sounds so perfect.
Rat Queens on FX.
Amen.
Right?
Up top. Anything Rat Queens with me will get an automatic check.
Rat Queens is about a band of female adventurers, the dirty female adventurers.
A la D&D.
And violence. Yeah, a la D&D. They're mercenaries, and they're badasses, and they're hilarious, and it's such a great book, and it'd be so different from anything else on TV, but I think you could totally do it.
Yeah, and you know, Rat Queens really presents women the way women really are.
Yeah.
That, yes, we do happen to be packing, you know, a vagina, but that doesn't mean that, you know, we're not, you know, fully rounded out human beings.
Yeah.
So it's really super cool. They're sweary. They do lots of drugs.
Yeah.
Mm. And what channel did you say?
I'd say FX. I think
isn't
FX
that just
would be
the go-to?
Yeah, know? Because it's the go-to. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, probably have to be HBO.
Yeah, I'm
to get it right,
cable.
HBO. Yeah, yeah.
So you could do all the sex and
right.
You get stars.
And that could
it gets
stars could do it. Stars could actually do Rat Queens. Yeah, stars could do Rat Queens. Also, Southern Bastards on FX.
What's Southern Bastards?
Southern Bastards is basically Son of Walking Tall.
What's Walking Tall?
Do you not know what Walking Tall is?
Oh, that's the Rock movie.
Buford Hollis. Yeah, yeah. The sheriff in a corrupt southern town.
Yeah.
It's about a guy who comes back to a southern town and it's all fucked up and he lays down the law.
And
it's great. It's a really good book and it's a crime story. You could totally make that work on FX.
Hmm.
I'd love to see that. Basically, almost everything in Image's catalog, I would love to see because they've got so many different genres and so much stuff that you could do.
I like Ex Machina. Machina.
Yeah.
I always say it wrong.
You could totally
always
do that.
Say it wrong.
You could totally
but
do that.
But I was trying to think of like what other channel might be able to pull it off. I was thinking maybe sci-fi if it was a little bit in that vein of of what they did with Alphas.
Yeah.
Or maybe on USA because there's something kind of a lot of political stuff is going into there.
I honestly think NBC could pull off Ex Machina. I mean, they pulled off West Wing.
Yeah.
I think they could do that.
That could be kind of interesting. It doesn't need to be on anything edgy or FX.
No, you could do HBO. That without all the crazy, you know, swears.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
That's a few. I could do this for about an hour, so we should probably move on.
I was going to say Sex Criminals.
Oh, Sex Criminals.
Make it
They're doing
Amazon.
That, aren't they?
Oh, my God.
I think they are.
Sex Criminals on Amazon? Yeah.
Ooh. I think they're developing Sex Criminals. I can't remember who is, but someone's developing
it. It's so perfect.
Yeah.
All right, next one comes from Dennis McElwain. He says, hi, dudes and dudette. Today is St. Patty's Day, as of our recording.
Yep.
And what are some of your favorite Patty's Day episodes? I am partial to the Simpsons episode in which Bart's drunkenness leads to dusting off some old prohibition laws.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good St. Patty. I mean, all I can
every
think of
episode.
I'm sure that Always Sunny has some good St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I think every day is Patty's Day.
Yeah, every day is Patty's Day. I can't think of any off the top of my head, to be honest.
Yeah, I was trying to come up with anything that really came to mind for a St. Patrick's Day episode.
Yeah.
And
nothing super memorable for
it's
me.
It's one of those where a little bit of research probably ahead of time reading this question would have gone a long way. So, you know, we're just going to delete that question from the episode.
Sorry, Dennis.
Next question comes from Michael Scally. He says, favorite and least favorite female leads on TV right now.
Oh, right now? Like on
You can say like ongoing series or
ballpark
something.
Ballpark right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know because you want to say Molly Salverson.
I definitely want to say Molly Salverson.
From Fargo. Because you have the biggest crush on her.
I love her. She's great. Alison Tolman. I also think
Carrie Russell is killing it in Americans.
Carrie Russell's killing the Americans. The leads, both leads from You're the Worst. Heather Donahue and I don't remember her name. The redhead. on You're the Worst.
I haven't seen this show still.
Well, they're both great.
Yeah.
Allison, any?
Crap. Female leads on shows that I watch.
Zoe?
Oh, my God. Guys.
Mm-hmm.
Felicity Smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
Arrow.
God
she's
damn great. It.
Yeah.
Every time she's in the scene.
I'm so in love with her.
She's the best part of Arrow, to be honest.
She's the best.
Yeah.
First of all, I have a thing about what I like to call the human cake pop actress, which is basically you're so thin that you're just basically a stalk of a human being with a giant head. And that seems to be kind of the way things are, you know, that's how actresses look these days. Except for the actress who plays Felicity Smoke, whose butt is fucking legendary. It's the most amazing butt on television, hands down. She's also super smart, nerdy, wears glasses, yep. De rigueur. Amazing.
You need to watch You're the Worst.
Okay.
Heather Donahue is she's a girl with curves, and she's
nice.
Awesome. And
nice.
The show is so... It's like a sweet romantic comedy mixed with just this absolutely cynical look at single life. It's
good. I think I have heard of it. I will try that.
It's really good. I don't know if we'll quite get there for you, but I think you'll like it. I loved it.
But also on Arrow, the actress who plays...
Black Canary?
Yes. Cake Pop.
Yeah.
Dislike.
Yeah.
Dislike.
I haven't heard anyone like the original Black Canary, the one that had her sister. I like her, but
I thought they were twins.
This actress has one facial expression.
Yeah.
It's just a sort of like deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
Way too much anti-anxiety medication.
Yeah.
Look kind of boring.
I gotta say, Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black.
Crazy Eyes. Awesome.
I mean, you could say pretty much every single character on that show. What's that? Pensatucky.
Oh, Pensatucky. Yeah.
Actress.
Yep.
Just like everything she does, she's so great at being so trashy and disgusting.
How about Abby and Alana from Broad City?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love both of them.
So amazing. We'll talk about Broad City.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
Broad City.
Yeah, that'll be in our TV discussion segment. All right. Let's do one more question before we jump into the news. And that will come from Chris Hatfield. He says, it's the golden age of television with a slew of original content airing. Do you guys see reality TV dying, or is it sleeping, waiting for the golden age to end?
It's not even sleeping. It's still up and dancing. It's just the rest of us are ignoring it.
Is it? I mean, I feel like ratings have kind of dropped off, or it's not being
the
as
voice
promoted.
The Voice is still such a huge hit for NBC, though.
Yeah, but... Think of like Dancing with the Stars has dropped, American Idol has dropped, X Factor has dropped.
I think maybe that's the anomaly that they're all sort of, the Voice is still going strong, but a lot of them are drying off.
Yeah,
so.
I can't like wipe out any of these other shows that were like, they had this big meteoric rise. Amazing Race isn't as big. It's like they've all grown old and tired.
I'd like to believe that because I don't really like reality TV in general, but I don't know.
I'm not hearing as much buzz about them either in the news or... Like
there's still some of the buzz. There's still some of the strongest content the networks have, though. I mean, it's just network, I think.
Yeah, maybe they're paying the bills, but no one's like caring about them to talk about them anymore.
I'm wondering if that's not the issue, and that millennials are sort of skewing towards cord cutting. They're not watching television that's on broadcast, and so they're not catching this reality TV show. You can be a lot more specific and discriminating in the shows you watch if you just got the streaming services. And so I'm wondering if, like, as TV audiences are getting older, if we're not losing a lot of that market to people who'd rather watch original content. This from someone who's married to someone who makes reality television. So
yeah, but the thing is, I don't think it's ever going away. It's just becoming instead of being the blockbuster, it's becoming another niche.
Yeah,
like Hacking the System was never a blockbuster show.
No.
By the way, people, Allison is married to a guy named Jason Murphy.
It's true.
Who's on a show called Hacking the System.
But Hacking the System is like Top Chef. It's one of the exceptions.
Yeah,
I watched that one, and Top Chef's never been a blockbuster. But they've got their niche and they've got their loyal audience,
mm-hmm.
and I think that maybe that's what it's becoming, is that instead of being the blockbuster juggernaut category, it's becoming niche like every other show.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that reality shows do, especially the ones that were big like Survivor and all that, I think the cord cutting is a good point because it was water cooler talk. Like you had to keep up on it and talk about it the next day.
Yeah.
And if everybody's watching different stuff all the time, then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have that immediacy to it where with dramas and comedies and stuff, it doesn't matter. If you just say, have you seen this? You're like, oh yeah. And you can talk about whatever episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty fascinating that TV has kind of had this shift where there was this period of time where the networks were untouchable, and then they realized they were untouchable and could just spit out trashy reality TV and make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, because there's TV channels, there's stations and networks and original programming popping up like out of the woodwork from all these different avenues. Yeah. It's getting competitive again.
There's honestly too much.
And they can't just keep like resting on those laurels. So I think they're having to kind of drop back a little bit and focus back on original programming to make themselves or buy up those companies.
Right.
Which is also what ends up happening. Well, they'll buy up all these other little guys.
Yeah, that's what Greg always talks about is that, we all talk about Bravo or Universal or whatever else. And that basically NBC owns all of them. So even if NBC isn't doing well, all their sub networks are doing fine for them.
Yeah.
And that's probably what's going on.
They're diversifying.
Yeah. Well, the question is, are networks even going to be a thing in 20 years or 30 years? You know, because networks are supposed to be aimed at a big, broad market, and it may just be the big, broad market doesn't exist anymore.
Maybe.
Not only that, but the big cash cow for networks used to be their nightly news.
Yeah.
So they would put all of this effort into, bookending the nightly news with shows that would bring you in and then park you there for the nightly news, because that's where they get all the best ad revenue.
Right.
Well, if you're getting your news from sources that are more immediate, like your computer that's in your pocket, then who the crap cares about your nightly news?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was already starting with CNN and all that too. And then, the internet popped up. And you're right. The nightly news is not the anchor anymore.
And it's I don't know. You just want to grab somebody and be like, your anchors are so irrelevant.
Yeah.
No one in your community looks like this.
Yeah.
No one acts like this.
Yeah.
This is a dinosaur.
Yeah.
People who are watching your nightly news are 80 years old and they're going to die eventually.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. It's a changing market. And I do think the people in the network realize it. I'm just not sure they know what to do.
Woof.
And I think to some extent they may be doing let's just keep our heads down until we have to change.
Ugh.
Well, we can only hope they'll all die out.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute and just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Delaware.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing on school, and all shooting some ball outside of school. And a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared. I said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air.
News time. All right. First bit of news is that Apple, Randy,
yes,
is apparently launching a 25-channel online TV service this fall.
This is big. This is almost as big as the HBO Now thing they just announced, because they haven't announced what the channels are, but they've announced that all the networks except for NBC are on board.
They're Lifetime and Spa Network. That's so far what they have.
Okay, I quit. No, they've got CBS, ABC. CBS is a big one because CBS
doesn't
do streaming.
It's 24 channels of the fish swimming around in the aquarium.
24? I only need 22.
There's one other mystery channel.
No, they have ABC, CBS, and Fox all on board. NBC bailed out on some kind of contract thing. They got mad at Apple for something, which also means, sadly, no Bravo.
Yeah, but that's just going to end up biting NBC in the butt.
I think so. Probably. Because here's the thing. They haven't announced.
Don't mess with Apple.
If Fox includes FX and FXX, this would definitely push me to cord cutting. Like, that's all I need is to be able to buy FX and HBO, and I could pretty much go.
You just need to mainline FX
into
your veins.
Yes, I would absolutely do that. If I had to give up every other network, I'd take FX. But that this is a big deal because $30 to $40 a month is not a small number, but it is about half what cable costs.
True.
And so if you only want a handful of channels, it's not the a la carte that we all really want. But it's a step in the right direction.
But everything is on demand?
Everything's on demand, it sounds like. I mean, this is sketchy. This is early days. But it sounds like everything can be on demand. You stream when you want, which CBS doesn't do that right now.
Yeah.
I have Viewverse, and I can't stream CBS. I have to watch it live, or I don't watch it. Which, fortunately, I don't watch any CBS shows, so it doesn't really matter to me.
I feel like I just watched something on
CBS.
Did
they do demand? Because I was trying to catch up on, like, say, the Sherlock show they did.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. Mm. They didn't seem to have a lot of on-demand content.
Elementary,
that's yeah, it. Yeah. But so this is really big news, and I think we're seeing a lot more. I've always been a guy, Greg and I have had this argument many a times. You know, we've always been the guys telling Grant that no, it's not going to change. It's easier for us older guys to watch TV on cable, and even if it's more expensive, it's all packaged. But I'm looking seriously at cord cutting now because it's always been about keeping up for the recording, keeping up with stuff on, you know, as it comes out week to week.
Yeah.
And it's looking increasingly likely to be able to do that and cut the cord.
So I guess what you're saying is you owe me money.
Is that what I'm
saying?
Didn't we
have a bet on this?
I think you and Greg
had a bet too.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're
no, you guys had a bet with Greg. You guys had a bet with Greg.
Randy, give us money.
All right.
All right. Our next story. This is pretty fascinating. I don't know if you guys have caught up or been keeping up with the Jinx on HBO.
I'm way behind.
It's a video version of Serial, basically.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I have heard of it.
So there's this guy, Robert Durst, who is an heir.
Yeah,
to a bunch of apartments in or buildings, I guess, in New York City.
Yeah,
kind of famous for a bunch of his delinquency run-ins with the law.
Yep.
First in the 80s for rumored that he might have killed his wife, but they couldn't prove it.
Yep.
Then another one of his best friends in California, and then one that they actually could prove he killed his next door neighbor while he was on the lam. In Galveston, Texas, dismembered the guy, threw him in the river, but they claimed it was self-defense, and he got away with that.
And what? You mean that millionaire heirs just get to do crimes and they get away with it?
You might be shocked to hear that he's white.
What? And a
plot twist.
What? You guys, that's crazy.
So anyway, this show, The Jinx on HBO, it's a six-part miniseries documentary that this guy, Robert Durst, offered to be interviewed by this director, Andrew Jarecki.
Yeah.
And he sits down in these episodes to kind of talk about these accusations, go through it. And the day before the finale aired, this previous Saturday, he was arrested and officially charged with one of these murders.
Yeah.
And it's the next day they aired their finale, which I watch, and I won't spoil it for you guys, but holy shit, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome. I definitely recommend it, but it's it couldn't have happened more perfectly for HBO.
Right. It's like if Anon had been freed right after Serial, last week of Serial was coming out.
Although it did happen that Anon got his appeal.
He got his appeal, but that was several weeks later.
Yeah. There's some little bit of blowback where people are kind of questioning when HBO, the documentary people, had this information when they turned it into the cops. if they're holding on to some of it, for the ability to keep it for
you saying they convicted the guy for marketing purposes?
What?
No. I'm saying that they withheld on giving the information to the cops.
They timed his conviction for marketing. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's messed up.
Television just wants to take advantage of you you guys. What in the world?
What is this world coming to?
What is it coming to?
All right, we're going to move on to a little bit of casting news. First up, American Horror Story. Jessica Lange is not going to be around for the fifth season. She's bowing out.
Saw that.
And Matt Bomer is moving in.
So I like him.
They're on equal footing acting ability.
Yeah, pretty much the same.
Said no one. I guess this next season's going to be about hotels.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. I think hotels are creepy places.
Yeah, hotels are creepy places.
See, I was all like, hotels, I don't get it. And Randy and Greg are like, no, creepy hotels.
Well, have you only ever stayed at Embassy Suites and stuff? Have you ever stayed at a creepy motel?
I stayed at La Quinta once.
Okay.
I don't know. That doesn't really count. I mean, I don't know. There's this whole, you know, the concept of your domicile yeah. and doorways into it. And if, you know, if there's a Dracula, he's got to, you know, be invited into your home. But a hotel.
He's invited in.
He can come in. That's there's right. no, there that magic of doorways and liminal space doesn't apply.
Also, there's that whole, there's that whole period where hotels were like this big glamorous thing.
Yeah.
And now those are all run down. And anything that's run down from its heyday is spooky.
Yes. The Rio Rancho in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or Gallup, New Mexico is
Is that that puppy hotel you went to?
No, that was different. I went to a haunted puppy hotel.
Haunted puppy hotel. That is my other show. That's going on my network.
Yes. It was amazing. It's a Victorian.
The puppies turn into werepups, right?
Yes. Werepups, yeah.
It's a Victorian mansion in something, Texas.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's also a dog rescue. So if you go down into the kitchen, you just hang out with the proprietor and shoots shit. And then also she just rescues these tiny little cute dogs like pugs and poms, and she rescues them. And
that's so crazy. I mean, that's
super
adorable.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit more casting news. What's her name? Kristen Milioti.
Yep.
Milioti, sorry. From How I Met Your Mother and A to Z.
Yep.
She just got cast in Fargo as well as Molly Salverson, Alison Tolman characters.
Yep.
Mother for their prequel sequel.
That's awesome because I love Milioti and I love Fargo.
I mean, just adding to this phenomenal cast that they already have. So I guess young Keith Carradine, who's going to be Patrick Wilson, will be her main squeeze.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to more Fargo.
Here's another, this casting rumor, but I wanted to run it by you guys.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
AMC's Preacher, which Seth Rogen, of all people, is executive producing along with his partner in crime, Evan Goldberg.
Sure.
They are looking at, they want to get Dominic Cooper to play Jesse Custer, the protagonist.
Now, before we get into this, Allison, have you read Preacher?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I figure. I know it's one of Jason's favorite comics.
Yes, I have read it.
So, what do you think? Do you know? I mean, did you see Agent Carter?
I did. Of course, I loved it. Well, first of all, you're not going to be able to be super authentic to the comic because of where it's being.
It's on AMC.
It's on AMC, so it's not going to be the heretical, sweary masterpiece that the comic is.
Yeah. I still think AMC could do a good job of it, version of it I want to see. But
I'm interested. I'm interested to see what they do.
But man, can they have the gore.
Yeah, no kidding.
Walking Dead.
True.
Yeah, Dominic Cooper's the question. I mean, casting Jesse is hard because you got to have a guy who's both sort of a young, attractive guy, but he's also got to have sort of that old soul.
Yeah.
And I think that's really hard to find. I think, honestly,
I feel like you need weathered skin. You need like a Matthew McConaughey like weathered skin. But not like Matthew McConaughey.
You know who I'd cast if I could? The guy who plays Daryl. I think he could play
Daryl in what?
In Walking Dead.
Oh.
I think he could play Jesse.
Oh.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, he doesn't look like him, but he's got the vibe. Timothy Oliphant would be perfect. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He may be a little old for it now, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Also, Timothy Oliphant walks like Jack Skellington. It weirds me out.
He does.
He's got
because he's got
like
his legs are like pladonk.
It's like someone
he's
who
lanky.
Grew too tall and doesn't know how to walk in his own body.
Yeah.
You saw Men in Black?
Yeah.
Remember when that guy takes over the bug skin?
Yeah. D'Onofrio. Yeah.
D'Onofrio. That's what it reminds me of every time I see him.
You know, here's the thing that a lot of people don't know about Timothy Oliphant. He is actually a 12-year-old child piloting a mech suit.
Yeah.
So, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, that's why it looks
that
a little
kid
weird.
Is so good at acting.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah, he's really good, but he is a robot. Dominic Cooper, though, he was great as Howard Stark.
Yes.
And that's the thing. He's a good actor.
Yeah,
I don't know if he can do the transformation.
Double?
No.
He was in this movie where he played
the devil's daughter.
He played both Saddam Hussein's son and a guy who looked like his son,
okay.
who was kind of roped into this like thing where he had to be the double for him at these certain events.
Okay,
and
interesting. It was like really messed up, really intense, and he was great.
Okay,
so the guy,
he's
I
got
do
the
think
chops.
He's a great actor, and he can be a bit of a chameleon in certain roles like
okay.
that. So
all right.
maybe I don't
so.
Know.
Reserve judgment.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sold on it, but I'm not against it.
Yeah. Last bit of news, 3 Days of the Condor is being looked at to be remade for a TV series.
Yeah. Now, Allison, have you seen this one? I was talking with Grant, and he has not seen this movie.
No.
Okay. So Robert Redford, 70s thriller. Robert Redford, Faye Dunaway. He is a guy. His code name is Condor. He works for the CIA, but they're like, they're intelligence gathering. They work in this big building, and they analyze codes and all this kind of stuff. And this is during the Cold War, and he goes out for lunch, and he comes back, and his entire office has been murdered. And it's clear that they have found something in the code that they weren't supposed to find. And
wow.
So he's like on the run from the CIA.
For how long would you say he's on the run?
It's like 2 to 4 days, somewhere
that's
in there.
So dorky.
he sort of kidnaps Faye Dunaway's character as his accomplice.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of conspiracy elements going. It reminds me a lot of what Rubicon did, back on AMC.
Okay.
I don't know how you turn this into a TV show unless it's like a limited thing like Fargo, but I'd be curious. Who's developing it? Do we know?
We have Sydney Pollack. Sydney Pollack's the guy who made it. This is Skydance Productions.
Which is Tom Cruise's company,
Along with MGM and Paramount TV.
No network.
Not any network so far. They'll probably make it and then shop it out to them.
Okay.
And then it looks like they have the guy who wrote Lucky Number 11, Jason Smilovic,
which I've also never seen,
and Todd Katzberg to write the script.
Oh, Katzberg, the cats are.
Yeah.
The cats
out of the bag guy.
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
I don't know.
I have no idea who that is.
Okay. All right. And that's it for our news,
that's
guys.
That's it for news.
Yeah, I don't really know what to think of this movie. Or this movie being adapted, rather.
It's a good movie. People should see it.
Yeah. Maybe if it's like Rubicon, but a little bit more geared toward the general public, it can have a little longer legs.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. Tell me about this Broad City, guys.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my goddess.
Oh my goddess.
I have two questions for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Did you watch the web series?
I did not watch the web series.
Okay,
I had heard
neither.
About it.
I haven't seen it, and I need to watch it. We have a mutual friend, Amanda, who loved the web series.
Yeah.
And she hasn't seen the show.
As somebody who follows all of the, the rabidly feminist feeds, they couldn't shut up about that web series, and I really did want to catch it.
And second question.
Ready.
Did you fall in love with it immediately, or did it take you some time?
First 15 minutes, I was sold.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And that's mostly because, once again, I mean, I like fiction and I like narrative that's not necessarily the most feminist-minded or doesn't pass the Bechdel test. That's fine
sure,
with me.
Sure.
I can be entertained by lots of stuff. But it's so awesome to have women that you can relate to as a woman who have very similar life experiences or expressing life experiences in the way that you see things that my entire life is not made up of looking hot for dudes and, oh gosh, babies. So it's pretty rad in that regard.
Randy's entire life.
That is my entire life, looking hot for dudes and babies.
Yeah.
I like to look hot for babies.
You?
Okay.
Whoa. I can tell when they think I look hot.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I like the baby gaze.
Yeah.
You like gay babies?
No.
I don't know what's going on.
I like to be gazed upon.
Gay. Oh.
I like to be appreciated.
Gaze.
Not plural.
I like the babies to look and go, you know what? That guy's pretty hot.
That's pretty hot.
So Broad City.
Yeah.
Was what we were talking about.
Yeah. God. And I just have one problem with the show, but it's a common problem that I have with shows, and that is that New York City is the end of the rainbow, and that the rest of the country is just an infrastructure
right.
to supply
yeah.
New York City with the stuff they like.
They are very much in love with New York City,
and that's going to be any of my problems
sure.
with shows that are set in New York is
yeah.
that it's just a
yeah.
city, and it's just really big.
Yeah. The thing is, though, you could totally do Broad City in, like, you could do it in Portland or
you
Austin
could.
Or whatever. It could drop in any. It
yes.
is very New York, but you could drop those two characters anywhere, and you're going to get really fun stuff.
Exactly. And so it doesn't really put me off. Like, I never really got into Seinfeld's
yeah.
when it was around, because
Seinfeld is
so
very New
much
York.
Of their comedy
yeah.
is based on the New
yeah.
York City experience,
yeah.
and meh.
And Broad City is also really out there in terms of like what goes. I mean, it's about real, like, you know, girl relationships, and yet then they'll have the episode where they find out that her trainer was doing gay porn.
Yeah.
So is it like a comedic version of Girls or something? I'm not really sure what the show's about.
So
it's like a couple of women. It's three women in New York.
Two women. Abby and Alana.
Okay.
And
Abby.
Abby works as a cleaner at a health club and wants to be a trainer.
She wants to be a trainer.
And Alana just kind of does whatever the hell she wants.
She works for a company where I think she has some sort of relationship with her boss he's a bit infatuated. And so maybe that's why he's not firing her.
Yeah.
I want that job because she'll show up and just, you know, go into the bathroom ostensibly to poop, but stays in there and takes a nap and does a J. And that's her job.
But they're like, what are they go to parties.
Yep.
What all have they done? Like
a lot of their relationship is through FaceTime or Skype.
Yeah.
Which is adorable.
So they Skype each other all the time?
Yeah.
Yep. And Alana is pretty much in love with Abby.
Yes. She's a weird.
It's kind of like the Amy Poehler's relationship with Rashida Jones on Parks and Rec.
But sexier. Yeah, but kind of dirtier.
It's just kind of like hijinks and stuff, too.
There's some hijinks.
There's definitely things will happen to them.
There was an episode where they were trying to get to a wedding.
Yeah.
And it was all about sort of trying to get cabs and buses and how do you get out of New York to get to a wedding. And it's sort of like that situation. It's not unlike Seinfeld, and it's not like plot driven, really.
It's really not.
But it's not as New York-y. Or it is, but it's not. I don't know. It's
it sounds to me almost like Workaholics mixed with Girls or something.
I think that's what you guys kind of describe it as. It does come right after Workaholics.
It's like buddies in New York, and it's like this 20-something female New York experience.
Yeah.
Ladies spaced.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Ladies spaced.
Yeah.
They're really cute, but they're not precious. So they're okay to be dirty. They're okay to, you know, they talk about things that.
My God, they did an episode about pegging.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe they were the way they go. Yeah.
Look it up, kids.
Yeah. And you know, they get into a lot of the things that if you're a lady, the debates rage in the fashion magazine about what to do with your pubic hair. And they'll address that.
Yeah.
You know, like underarm hair, is that a thing now that you should do? I don't know. Are you betraying the sisterhood if you shave it? You know, they'll get into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Incidentally, and in a way that makes you feel that you're being lectured to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a guy and I love this show.
Yeah. That's
so
amazing.
Is this the second season?
Yeah, second season.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've only heard such high praise
from everyone about it.
And I still can't believe I haven't been able to catch up.
And Hannibal Buress is in it as Alana's sort of off on again, off again boyfriend, and he's great.
He's perfect.
Yeah, he's perfect for it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's and funny because I've never seen that guy do good acting.
It's amazing.
I don't know if it's good acting. He's playing Hannibal Buress. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. His sort of laid back, you know, pothead self is perfect for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they tackle not only feminist issues but race issues and stuff like class warfare in such a way that doesn't make you feel hollered at, but it's still pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah,
cool.
And it's hilariously funny.
That's Comedy Central.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, now tell me about this Danger 5 show.
It is the most banana shit I have ever seen.
There was a film that premiered at Fantastic Fest a few years ago called Norwegian Ninja.
Okay.
Which is a movie like Danger 5. So kids out there, if you want to check out Norwegian Ninja, you should totally. It's amazing. But Danger 5 was described to me online over one of my Twitter followers. And it was during a Real Sim Monday. I think.
I love this, by the way. You need to explain Real Sim Monday.
I do sometimes. Sometimes I forget, especially now that I don't have a job. And so all days of the week sort of blend together for me. I kind of forget, but hashtag Real Sim Monday is when you can control your very own Allison Murphy by I'll throw choices that I've got to make up to the Twitter sphere. And then, you know, the first person to chime in or the one with the biggest votes, I'll do that action. Like, what should I eat for lunch? What clothes outfit should I wear today? What movie should I watch? And a lot of times people suggest cool TV shows or movies that I hadn't ever heard of. And I think the last Real Sim Monday that I did, somebody said, check out Danger 5.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
So it looks like kind of is it British?
It's Australian.
Oh, and first like some Thunderbirds.
There was a guy who did a shorts called Italian Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
Spider-Man was a guy who smoked cigarettes and had a shotgun. Same guy, I think.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
That's what I heard today. That is the same guy. Yeah. So it's on Netflix. There's two seasons. It's Australian TV.
Okay.
The Australian government helped fund this, which I think is hilarious. What?
Australian TV is just, it kills it sometimes. Some of their TV is really, really, really awesome.
So Danger 5 is a group of five operatives.
Yeah.
It is 1960s style. I mean, they have a 60s style swinging pad. They got the jumpsuits and everything. But it's during World War II, and their missions are, whatever their mission is, it also involves their eagle-headed boss will always come in and say, and as always,
he has
kill Hitler.
He has his head is that of an eagle.
His head is an eagle.
Let's just be clear.
I see pictures of this.
Yeah.
As well as a picture of a claymation triceratops.
Exactly.
With a Nazi banner hung over.
The second episode is that not Goebbels. Who is it?
Rommel?
It's the Dr. Mengele. Dr. Mengele has discovered some kind of dinosaur paradise and is turning dinosaurs into Nazi weapons. So the Danger 5 has to investigate that.
I found the person who recommended it, Robert Breedlove.
Okay.
Thanks, Robert.
I've seen two episodes of this. The first one, I was sold within like 2 minutes because it opens with like these Nazis gunning down some people. And then the dog starts spouting Reich stuff.
Yeah.
The dog is talking.
Yeah, they have talking operatives who are German shepherds.
I also love that they mix, like, some people speak in foreign languages and they do captions, and some people speak English.
Like those just films optionally from the like Italian films where one person in the cast just would not be speaking the same language, or they wouldn't be able to have gotten a dub actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a spoiler to talk about what the plot is of the first episode, right?
Come on.
Okay. So it opens with the Nazi blimp still in the Eiffel Tower.
Yes. Okay.
And it turns out that what they're doing is taking all the world, they're taking the Colosseum and the pyramids and the Sphinx and the Statue of Liberty and making one giant monument that looks like Hitler.
Voltron.
With the Statue of Liberty, like his big saluting arm, to make him the eighth wonder of the world. For his birthday, for his birthday.
Awesome.
This show is so hilarious. I love how casually cruel they are to the blonde girl.
Yes. And she's always like, whoo.
And she's like British Meg Ryan.
Yes.
I totally think she's British Meg Ryan.
She's adorable.
And Ilsa, their femme fatale.
Yep. So they've got all the tropes.
Yeah.
All the spy movie tropes interacting with each other. It's like a cartoon, but live action.
Yeah.
Robert Breedlove described it as a combination between Team America and something else. But it's very like a claymation, absurd. Kind of like, you know, when you were a little kid and you play spy with your friends and you were like, okay, now there's a giant triceratops that comes in and it shoots us all, but we've got armor and we're like, ting, ting, ting. And then we smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
This is exactly what happened when I played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
This does look amazing. And I guess it only did two seasons. It just wrapped
up
its second season.
Yeah, short season for TV.
Wow, definitely gotta check that out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was one of those things that floated my mind, recommended to me, and I knew that Allison had watched it, so I quick caught up on a couple episodes.
But
you've seen more than me. You've seen all the first season, right?
Pretty much. And then haven't started second season yet. Right.
Yeah, it's really good.
So I want to ask about Kimmy Schmidt, because we talked about this last week. Randy and I had just kind of started getting into watching it.
Since then, we've finished.
We both finished, and you started watching it.
Correct.
You're mostly done, I think. You're getting close.
I'm getting close to caught up.
And this is a show, Allison, that I was thinking, oh, Allison's going to love this. Allison's got to see this. She's going to totally love it.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
I really want to.
See,
I want to love it.
That surprises me.
Ellie Kemper is adorable. Yeah. Tina Fey. I love the theme song.
Mm. Oh, the theme song's such a earworm.
Females
are strong as hell.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. And so I really want to like it. I like the supporting cast a lot. I love a roommate.
So what's rubbing you the wrong way
if Jason and I ever get a roommate, I want him to be a bald black man who's gay. I want that.
And wears a werewolf
and really likes Barbie. I really want that.
That makes a lot of sense.
I want him to be my roommate.
That's just practical.
I don't know. I keep analyzing it, rolling it over in my mind. What is it about the show that's not quite hitting for me? I think it's that the characters are a bit too much of a cartoon. Like, there's no one who has authentic moments. They're all just...
There's no straight man for everyone to kind of play off of.
Yeah, that's true.
And in 30 Rock, which is, you know, incredibly similar, every once in a while, Tina Fey would be a legit character. Yeah. And these guys, I just don't know. They're all...
I mean, you know, I try and think, especially with it being so fish out of water for Kimmy Schmidt, you think that, of course, she has to be kind of wacky and out there and trying to adapt.
Right.
And so everyone else would be kind of a bit of a straight man for her to play off of.
Yep.
But she's got the wacky roommate, the wacky landlord, wacky boss.
Yeah.
Her boss, the boss's family... initially seemed like they were kind of being like there was the daughter who's a little bit of the antagonist for her, and occasionally that kind of allows her to play off of that. And then there was that boy, not the boyfriend, but it was like that guy who also watched the tutor.
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
He just kind of disappeared.
Well, they had that awkwardness where she had to say Troll the Respawn Jeremy, and he said Troll the Respawn Jeremy forever.
Yeah. But they just kind of rolled him out, and I agree with you, that she doesn't really have anyone to kind of play off of.
There needs to be a .com, right? There needs to be somebody who's like the voice of reason, like a regular dude.
Yeah.
I can see that. I love this. I think that you're not wrong. It is definitely over the top, but Ellie Kemper is so earnest about her over the topness that I just fell completely in love with it.
I'm gonna keep trying.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep trying.
I kind of like the boyfriend that she has, the Asian boyfriend.
Yeah. Did you feel like maybe he was a little stereotype? Like maybe they were doing a little bit of that 16 candles type stuff.
when he started when he does his American accent, just switches into it.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, I really also appreciate seeing that sort of relationship dynamic, which you don't ever see.
Yeah, that's true.
And, well, I mean, it's like this in Walking Dead. It's like the only time I've ever seen the Asian guy with the white female.
Yeah.
And it's so often, and I'm a product of it, the opposite sort of relationship, the Asian woman and me. So.
Yeah, and... we don't really have good conversations about immigration in comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and what the impact that is. We tend to, in Texas, hear a lot of political discourse about immigration between Mexico. And so, you know, we don't ever hear good conversation about immigration, how it affects people from other countries, how it affects relationships between people. I mean, you know, people come to this country and they, through lots of different reasons, get kind of stuck here or want to stay here.
Yeah.
And they're not always living in these really isolated communities. They're interacting with people around them. And, you know, you're not just changing one person's life if... you know, they deport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things I like about Ellie Kemper, about Unbreakable, is that Tina Fey is such a political writer in a lot of ways, and she gets at stuff. And a lot of what you were saying about Broad City is that she gets at things without feeling like you're being lectured at.
Yeah.
But there's stuff going on under the surface. You know, there's even stuff about cultural assimilation with Jenna, what's
Jenna
her name?
Yes.
Krakowski's character.
Yeah.
You know, there's that. And it's played for laughs. But there's a serious undertone to it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think there's a lot. I mean, and then there's the whole thing about the black man turning, or the werewolf turning into a black man.
Yep.
And how it's safer to be a werewolf than a black man in New York. And I thought that was hilarious and on point.
Yeah, that was great.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff in there. And then it's also just laugh out loud funny.
I was listening to, and I'm going to sound like our friend Jeff, who was on the video game episode. But I was listening to the Cracked podcast the other day.
Okay.
And they were talking about how Hollywood has this hatred toward ever actually depicting proper poverty.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah.
And it was kind of interesting. I feel like they kind of glossed over a lot of bigger points that could have hit on that
sure.
episode. But this show also seems to fall subject to that. Even in some of its attempts to show that they're poor, they yeah. still have a huge place. You
yeah.
know? And you know, for the practicality of being able to film inside of an environment like that.
Yeah.
I get that you need a sure. larger space.
Yeah.
But they have a big yeah. place in New York City
yeah.
that if neither of them has a job, really,
yeah.
Shenanigans.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they just have some benevolent landlady who, you know, allows them to get away with not paying stuff.
Yeah.
They have occasionally like these like things to make money, but they kind of gloss over all of this, the struggle
true.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it just made me go, well, there's another show that does it. They
yeah.
all do it though.
Yeah,
all
it's true. Do this. Yeah.
Broad City, I think,
pretty good
talks
about, yeah.
about poverty and what that looks like as far as living in New York City, which
and,
isn't
like, actually having to work hard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she, you know, Ilana most certainly does not work
but
hard.
Having to scramble for everything.
Yeah, and yeah. they talk about that a little bit. I kind of thought the Unbreakable, they address that in some respects, like the floor is just painted dirt and that's
yeah.
why her
yeah.
high heel shoes sink into it and
yeah.
the walls are cake icing and
yeah.
So in that regard, and I like how they kind of make fun of rich New York as not having a real good grasp on reality.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments early on is that first episode where she offers her
water and then throws it away.
Yes. And then later on when she goes in and something's happened and like there's no water in the fridge. She doesn't know where it comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to jump over to talking a little bit about Bob's Burgers. Is
Yay.
This its fifth season?
Yeah. Yes, right? Fifth
wow.
season?
Okay.
It's been on for a while.
Yeah,
I believe
its
you.
Fifth season. Have you guys been keeping up with this?
I am up to date.
I'm mostly up with it, yeah. Maybe not last night's episode, but otherwise, I think
yeah.
I pretty much caught up.
I got to wait for Hulu to drop them. So I'll probably go home and watch those tonight
yeah.
when Mr. Murphy goes to bed
mm-hmm.
and stops watching Justified.
So do you guys sleep in a Murphy bed?
Technically.
By default.
All of our shit is Murphy
yeah.
fill in the blank, right?
Yeah.
It's the Murphy couch. It's the Murphy blender.
The Murphy mobile.
The Murphy mobile.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bob's Burgers is awesome, for tons of reasons.
Yeah. What do you
Andy.
Do you like this season?
This season,
I feel like it's been up and down a little bit
has
this season.
Not been, there've been times when I've kind of put it on in the background and
yeah,
not been,
that's what I've been, it's not like I don't like it, but it doesn't grab me as much as it has sometimes.
Yeah.
But is this the season that opened with the musical? I think it is. The Die Hard versus Working Girl musical.
Oh yes.
And that
was
great.
Perfect.
That was so much fun.
That
black,
was amazing.
The Black Garlic, the Burger Challenge, was that this? I think that was the season two.
The Magicians.
The
Magic Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I've seen a couple episodes
yeah.
as well this season,
yeah.
and it's lost a lot of its charm.
Yeah. It's lost some of it for me. I mean, I'm still liking it, but it has gone to background viewing for me.
Yeah.
But it's a great show.
I wish that Louise was a little. She's lost a little of her tooth, her
yeah,
fang.
Yeah.
That's regrettable.
She needs to be a little more of a sociopath.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tina has lost a little bit of her awkwardness. She's
yeah.
become a little more acceptable.
Yeah.
Where she used to be kind of gross.
Yeah.
You know, like writing her own zombie-based fanfic.
Yeah.
Something about the show feels to me like they got more production money.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like they're not struggling and, like, as desperate to, like, kind of make those jokes. Like, they felt a lot scrappier, I guess,
yeah.
overall.
I think you're, I think that's what it is. It feels safer. Because
like
that's what you're saying. Like, they've toned down everybody. They've filed off the edges a little bit.
Like you two in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Or later Simpsons seasons.
Yeah. yeah.
Simpsons seasons 7 through
700 to 2700.
And thanks to Thor Wodenson for recommending some shows for us to talk about tonight. He's been real sim Mondaying with me.
Awesome.
So
okay, so let's jump over away from the comedies then and talk about The Flash.
Yay.
We're all up to date on The Flash.
Yes.
We totally are.
And the most recent episode as of this recording, because there's probably going to be another one this week,
yep.
Is the one where we get the big reveal of the Reverse Flash, who it is.
Yep.
And a certain primate fellow pops up.
It's his second appearance.
Yeah.
In a way.
But we actually got to see him.
Yeah.
And he actually spoke, which made me so happy.
Yeah. Jason was also super excited about that. And
Grodd.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they really are just delving into all of these characters and they aren't holding back.
Yeah.
And it's really impressive for them to try and pull off a talking monkey and they do it successfully in this world. It doesn't look hokey.
No, he looks scary as hell. Yeah.
I make jokes a lot when I talk to Jason about this because I'm not super familiar with the comic, and so I'll be like, "Is this a character from the comic?" And he'll be like, "He'll have to look it up." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's this person." Or I'll say, "Oh yeah, this person." Blah blah. But I joke a lot, like, "Why is everyone in this universe a doctor or a captain?"
Yeah.
There's a lot of universities and armies.
There's a lot of self-promotion in the superhero universe. You're like, you know what? I got a costume. I got powers. I'm a doctor. I'm a smart guy. I feel like a doctor.
I'm
but
a captain.
The best thing about that is that what's his name? Jazz, not Jazz.
No.
Vibe
Francisco.
Vibe.
Cisco. Cisco is just the big dork who's naming everyone.
Yeah. Cisco is my favorite thing, and I love when they let Caitlin name. Caitlin named one of them. She named one of the guys.
And they were like, nope.
And she's like, what? I can name people.
Yeah. But he's definitely, yes.
Cisco's one of my favorite things about the show. I love that character.
Yeah, there's so much. He's so positive and optimistic.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to have a lot of hubris. He seems to be very humble.
Yeah.
At the same time, he experiences pretty legitimate or authentic appearing pain and suffering.
Yeah. He's not a cartoon.
He
feels real, but he's not always angsting.
Yeah, and he's got a really lovely naivete about his character without being ignorant or he's not a yokel.
It's almost childlike, but like an informed child.
Sure, or just a lovable in a sense.
Joyful enthusiast.
Yeah. I also think I think the guy they got playing Barry is perfect.
Yeah.
I was a little worried about the baby face thing, but it really works.
It does.
Grant Gustin. He's great. Also, the weapon they used on the Flash, the little thing that put barbs into him, was evil.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
was
just evil. I mean, I know he heals fast, but it still hurt. Clancy Brown as Wade Eiling is great. Eiling's a longtime DC bad guy.
I wasn't familiar with him. I was like, is that thing. General Ross?
I think I'm watching this differently from both of you.
Yeah.
I think I'm more watching it like Jason watches it, where all these little Easter eggs pop and my eyes just go wide that they're doing it.
Yes.
And it's so much. What I love is that we all can enjoy it without, like, you guys don't have to know all the Easter eggs.
Right. No.
And, but I can kind of recognize that a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Because they're very good about saying something with sort of like a wink and a nod to the audience.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that must be another one.
Yeah.
Kind of like the new Star Trek movies did that a lot for me.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah.
like, if you were familiar with TOS or whatever, you'd be like, oh, that's adorable. But you didn't have to.
Can I ask favorite villains you guys so far? We had Captain Cold. We had Weather Wizard.
Because I like that actor a lot.
Yeah, he's great.
I don't like his sidekick.
Heatwave. That guy was chewing scenery
like
crazy.
Dominic Purcell.
Yeah.
Because, he doesn't seem like, I don't know. I thought he was just going a little too over the top with everything.
I'm trying to think of what other villains there were.
Boomerang. There was the girl who could kind of jump back and forth. There was
Peekaboo.
The smart dude.
Piper.
Who could?
Pied Piper.
Pied Piper. Is that the one where she came up with it?
I think it might have been.
It was like really bad.
Yeah.
So far, I don't want to give too much away. I think the biggest villain is the villain that we're still on the fence about.
Reverse Flash?
I think that is my favorite villain so far because we're on the fence and we're not really sure where that's coming from.
I still don't want him to be a villain. I'm pretty sure at this point that he is, but I like him so much.
I know.
Yeah.
That to me is a really interesting dynamic, like how much of his kindness and help and support is self-serving.
Yeah, what's an act?
Can we assume everyone's like...
Please
close your ears.
Yeah, or just jump ahead. Spoilers. Okay. very much like Unbreakable is the whole dynamic of this.
Yeah.
Like the movie, not Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Where he seems like he's trying to push Flash to be good, but he may be doing
by
some
any
evil
means necessary
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah.
So is he necessarily an evil guy, or is he just very Machiavellian?
I don't know. He seems to legitimately care about Barry.
Yeah,
is the thing. I mean, if he doesn't care about him, it seems weird that he wouldn't. But he's got some very sinister. I mean, he's clearly a killer.
Yes, cold blooded.
And he killed his mom. I mean, this is not it's not an easily forgivable kind of evil. You know?
But it's one of those things where it's like, we haven't seen what has caused him to do this.
Yeah.
And it feels to me, and I'm just speculating because maybe you know a lot better than me.
I don't, because they're mixing stuff.
But it feels almost like, in a way, he's a time traveler.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like some sort of Groundhog Day type scenario.
He's trying to fix something.
He knows this future event, and he keeps trying to figure out what he needs to tweak in order to have that happen. And he recognizes that Barry Allen's the only person that can save humanity.
Right.
But in order for him to achieve that,
he needs to have
some sort of terrible trigger in his childhood.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking they're leading toward.
I don't know.
But that's just a guess.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I that's also the conclusion that I came to. And
like he's a bad guy for the greater good.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
But he's still
like a Benjamin Linus.
So evil.
Yeah, he's very evil.
Yeah.
Like Benjamin Linus.
There's always that argument that if you have to do something that evil in order to accomplish a good, you're just not being creative enough.
Right.
There's always a way to accomplish your means that don't involve hurting people.
That it's gone a little far, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but it's such a compelling storyline that's what keeps me watching is
Special effects are really good.
For TV, right?
Right. Especially for CW, which is not a huge money, but
I know.
But the speed effects are really cool and fun. It never feels cheesy. It's
also this is on CW.
I know.
I know. And okay. So Arrow is the other show that you'd have to talk about if you want to talk about The Flash. And I hate CW shows for the reason that I don't care about these beautiful people making out. And they all
Tree Hill, Vampire Diaries.
Yeah. It always just seems to be oh my God, we're beautiful people. We're having all these conversations that are so dramatic about our love.
Yeah.
And that to me is very boring.
Yeah.
But this doesn't bother me in either of these shows.
It's funny because Arrow will occasionally go into CW territory, especially when they're doing Ollie and Laurel.
Or Thea.
Or Thea. Yeah.
I just don't like the tone of that show as much.
You know, it took me a while to get into Arrow, but now I love Arrow.
It's always
almost as much
grumpy
as Flash.
And dour, and
it is darker.
Everything hinges on this, whereas there's this
playfulness.
Playfulness.
Yeah, Flash is lighter.
Life and vitality to Flash, which is very refreshing for her.
I think that's why Felicity Smoke is so important to Arrow.
Yeah,
because she brings that sort of Cisco, lighter vibe to what is a dark show.
Vibe.
But I think that's the thing with Arrow is that it's at its best when Felicity is sort of providing that sort of element. And when they've tried to drag her into more angsty plot lines, our whole thing with her will they, won't they with Oliver.
Yeah.
That's always when the show's at its weakest for me, because I'm like, you're taking one of your light characters and trying to drag her into the darkness, and that's not doing anybody any good.
Yeah, I mean, I like that they're giving her some depth where she has emotions and she feels conflicted about things. And I just like that she can have that innocence that we're talking about and still be the smartest motherfucker in the room.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, they never do that with girls. They never make girls nerdy.
Yeah.
And that they've found a way to make her nerdy and sexy at the same time.
Yeah.
I am just over the moon about that.
I love the episode where her mom came to visit.
Yes.
That was such a great episode because her mom was like the girl. She was the girly one, and she's trying to get her daughter to be this for her. And I love that's such a dynamic that you see.
And
I thought it was really cool.
They go into her gothy past, which that hangs a little bit with me. I, too, had a bit of a gothy past.
And you're nerdy.
And nerdy. It's kind of smart. Medium smart.
You didn't create a program.
I didn't. I'm not a computer programmer.
Good. Okay. And you're kind of sexy.
Aww.
Babies find you sexy.
Babies find me.
Babies find you and Randy sexy.
Baby
no,
gays.
Babies just think I'm hot. Don't make this gross.
That's what I meant. Hot. I'm sorry, guys.
It's an aesthetic appreciation, Grant. It's not sexual.
I made
the joke weird.
You made it weird.
Weird. I did. All right, guys.
And now on to something completely different.
So last show I wanted to bring up, because it is debuting just around the corner with its fifth season, April 12th, 2015.
Yay.
Game of Thrones is coming back.
Yeah.
And you are... You're playing a little bit of catch up, I guess.
I'm catching up. We had a bit of a marriage dust up over Game of Thrones. I think Jason has talked about this in the interwebs before. So
this is the first time hearing it.
Yeah. Well, watching Game of Thrones was a couple's activity for us, right? We would get together. We would watch them from Amazon or whatever. I don't remember what we were watching those on, but we'd watch them together. I'm like, ooh, okay, you ready? You want to watch a Game of Thrones tonight? Yeah, let's do that. And then I remember at one point while season 4 was airing, I said to him casually, you know, we really need to get caught up on season 4 because, you know, we're going to run out of daylight. We're going to need to catch season 5. And he was like, yeah, we totally need to get caught up. Meanwhile,
I know where this is going. I know exactly where this is going.
So one night we're at a restaurant and we, you know, the corruptible nature of memory. I remember this happening totally different. But we're at dinner with the Cargills and Cargill comes to dinner with us and says something about, you know, like, oh yeah, so you're totally caught up on season 4. And Jason's like, nope, you know, and I'm like, oh, no. I turn to him in the restaurant and say these exact words, you motherfucker. Because, and he was like, ha ha, lol. You know, because I've been sneaky watching it, but it's not that big of a deal. And I'm like, A, it's kind of a big deal because I've not been watching it waiting for you. B, you fucking lied about watching it. You motherfucker. And so, like, for the rest of the dinner, I was just like, nope, that's it. You know,
it's the end of the relationship.
Yep. Well, I'm going home and packing my
Grant,
shit.
Grant, have you ever TV cheated?
Yes. but I've told her right away that I had to.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's usually because we're going to discuss it here. And I'm like, hey, I need to make time with you to watch this before we can talk about it. I need to talk about it on the podcast. And it didn't work out. So I'm like, I'm sorry, I watched it ahead of time.
So you're using me as your excuse?
Yes.
And so Jason was talking to another one of our friends about this. And he was like, I don't understand what the big deal is. And his friend went, it's not the crime, Mr. Nixon. It's the cover-up. And that is the truth. It's not that he was watching Game of Thrones without me, even though that's kind of shitty. It was that I turned to him that night and went, we need to catch up on season 4. And he went, oh, yeah, we totally need to do that.
Sure.
You lying piece of shit.
Oh, I'm so glad my wife doesn't watch much TV.
So we are now, he politely sits next to me while I catch up on season 4, and I'm almost caught up.
Can you believe that happened?
Yeah, I'll be like,
oh wow, that's the first I've seen such a thing.
And then you punch him.
Yeah, right in the dick. Right in his dick hole. So yes, I am getting caught up on season 4. I am at the point now, closures if you can't be spoiled, I am at the point where the trial.
Ooh, yeah. Tyrion. Yeah.
Who's the dad?
The mountain?
Tywin.
Tywin.
Yeah.
When Tyrion and Tywin have their little showdown where he's like, that's it, motherfucker. I'm going to do the battle royale. That's how I'm going out. And
I demand trial by combat.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Oh, where he's talking about Shay?
Yeah, where Shay comes in and lies.
And how
that
emotional
was a heartbreaker.
That was
a heartbreaker.
Like, all of season 4 is just so jaw-droppingly good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine not seeing an episode of that with my wife. Like, we had to watch every episode together.
Totally.
Oh, my God. You're lying right now.
Why would I do that?
There's this ongoing theme of, like, abandoning your love. And
see, Jason was doing a meta thing.
He was abandoning me virtually.
So that you would love season 4 more.
Yeah, give him all the grief, guys.
Basically.
Give him all the grief.
He's Daenerys, and you're one of the dragons, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just locked you up and forgot about you.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that's
that
not
one
good.
Yet.
Oh.
Spoilers.
That's cool.
Oh, no!
It's cool. I also told these guys, I am okay with getting spoiled. Spoiling stuff doesn't really ruin
it
for me.
I'm not sure if that's actually That might be a book thing. I might have really spoiled.
Oh, wow.
No, it's in the show at some point.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's the this season's been so good.
It was really good.
They're coming off the Red Wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was just such a game changer for the whole show. And they did everything was disrupted. And was this the season where Arya and that was last season where Arya and the Hound were all wandering around?
No, they're wandering.
Are they still wandering?
Yeah, okay. They're wandering.
There's some good old boys.
Yeah. Arya and the Hound wander. Oh, that's right, because it's the Red Wedding when he gets her over there and then they have to flee. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And then
that stuff is great.
The whole Reek storyline.
Yeah.
So fucking creepy.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's funny, have you read the books?
No.
Because in the books, Theon disappears for a book, basically, or almost entirely. And then when he shows up again, he's Reek.
I gotcha.
Like, we don't see it's, and it's from his point of view. Like, he's Reek is talking, and you don't know who he is because it's his point of view.
Oh, that's clever.
And then at the end, it's sort of a big reveal of, oh, Reek is Theon, and he's all messed up now
from torture.
And everyone figured he was dead.
That's
one of those things where you go, if George R. R. Martin, I guess, doesn't go into extreme explicit detail about how they're dead, they might not be
alive.
Dead.
Yeah,
that's cool though. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's been so good. And I mean, Tyrion is the best part of that show for me.
Oh my God. And
he's the best part of the books too.
Yeah.
He's such a, that actor is so amazing.
Yeah.
Seen him in a couple things just real recently where I've just been so impressed.
Yeah.
With his range.
Yeah.
And he, oh my gosh. And he was delivering the speech about, I've been on trial for being a dwarf my whole life.
That was amazing.
Like, whoa, there's some emotional, that's method.
Yeah.
You know, some emotional background to that monologue. That's really pretty touching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great, and I can't wait for more. And I'm on trailer blockade right now. I'm trying my best not to watch trailers for stuff.
I was going to say the trailers.
So I didn't watch the trailer because I know I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Unless I know the happier I'll be.
Yeah.
So I haven't even watched the trailer, but I hear people going, holy shit, this looks amazing.
Do you want me to tell you what happened?
Nope. Describe it minute by minute.
Okay.
No, we're getting to the point where I've read all the books, but I've forgotten what happens in the later ones.
Nice.
And so it's getting to that point where everything's a surprise, which is kind of cool.
Well, they're going to pass by George R. R. Martin's books anyway.
Yep.
And they're doing a better job than his books do in the later ones.
Did you see this thing where he was talking about how HBO wanted 10 seasons, but Benioff and Weiss want to do 7?
Yeah, let's tack on a few more.
And George R. R. Martin's really pushing for a movie to end it all.
Yeah, and HBO said they didn't want a movie.
Yeah, I think he's out there trying to steer things back to his vision, and I don't think that's good for anybody.
Yeah, it's like, you did a great job, but we're just going to go ahead and take over and do what we're going to do now.
God, it's so tough, though. Can you imagine making something, you know?
He's dedicated to this world.
And he hasn't finished it either. Like, someone else may get at the finish line before you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic. You know, as a creator type person,
sure.
But as a fan, I'm like, no, I like the TV version better.
It's just that he's getting way too long winded.
Yeah.
And I mean, this was supposed to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's already
supposed to be a trilogy. Yeah.
It's already up to 5 books. The fourth book was split into 2 because it was so long.
Yep.
This other one, The Winds of Winter, that he hasn't even released, has been sitting on the shelf for like five years.
It was a long time.
He can't figure out how to do it. And
it's
like, well, maybe you shouldn't have sold the show to get this made if you didn't want to lose control like that. But at this point, the fans need their fix.
We need the story.
So I'm sorry.
Yeah. George. No, I feel like
he's too busy updating his live journal.
He should get, you know, Neil Gaiman did a memorable blog entry where he's like, he said that George R. R. Martin is not your bitch. He said, don't get mad at him for writing other stuff. Don't get mad at him for not finishing the books. I'm like, okay, that's fair. But at the same taste, if we're not allowed to be invested in him finishing the story, then I don't think it's on us to be mad at HBO for not following through on his vision.
Yeah,
like, we're allowed to enjoy it as an HBO show and not worry about what that means for George R. R. Martin.
And you know, the two things can exist simultaneously.
Yeah,
we can have a TV show that explores certain ways that this world could have existed, and we can also read the books.
They've already changed some things.
They've changed a lot,
I mean, you look at like Walking Dead as another example where the two paths had to kind of diverge, or Scott Pilgrim, the ending of the book and the ending of the movie and the comic, both were a little bit different because they grabbed these properties before they fully finished.
It's honestly, and Akira, to go back a ways, Akira the anime was out long before the comic, and the comic goes into a lot more detail and has a lot of different stuff. I'm a fan of this notion Yeah. Because it means that you can watch both versions and not feel like you're having to compare them directly.
Yeah.
Like if you want to watch Walking Dead the show and read Walking Dead the comic, they're completely different stories. There's a little bit of crossover, but basically that gives you two stories instead of one, and that's a good thing.
I was a huge Aeon Flux fan back in the days, and then they made the Charlize Theron movie, which I thought had so little to do with Aeon Flux that it shouldn't have even been the same property.
Right.
She didn't have the proper long eyelashes.
She didn't have the...
right?
Right. Whatever. It should not have been a PG movie or whatever. No. But if you just think of that as a separate film, it's fine.
Yep.
And then,
Yeah.
Well, all right, guys.
All right.
Allison.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us.
Heck yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of got wrapped up. This went a little longer than I was expecting, but that's good. That's
and
a good thing.
If you guys ever want to have another show with me on it where we talk about British TV.
Ooh.
I am down because that's my favorite.
Do we have to have tea and talk with accents?
But of course we do, sir.
Excellent.
Ho hum, ho hum. I'm not good at it. I'm just going to say ho hum a bunch. Open door, though.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Cool. Love that.
Thank you.
And listeners, thank you for checking it out. Please give us those 5-star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Like us on Twitter. Be sure to check out Allison over at M. Allison Murphy on Twitter.
Yep.
You also got a Facebook page, I guess.
I don't really. Yeah, I do. I do Facebook mostly for friends and Twitter for public. So if you want to hang out with me and chat with me, you should check me out on Twitter. And stay tuned for the blog to drop and the website to drop and secret projects coming this year.
And over on Rachel, like, they can also get a little more.
Occasionally, yes.
Yeah. Randy.
Grant.
I think we're done with this episode.
All right.
I'm scared because I'm not sure how you're actually going to close it. What do you got for us?
Pip, pip, TV dudes out.
Me como las uñas, todo por tu culpa. ¿Acaso no sabes que mi alma es tuya? Maldita la hora en que te vi a los ojos. Te veo y yo creo que todo es un sueño. Oh, oh, no. Dime otra vez que me quieres y que no te irás. Dime otra vez que eres mía y de nadie más. Que son como el cielo, los veo y no creo que pueda tenerlos. Y estoy en el cielo y me voy al infierno, todo por tu cuerpo, maldito deseo. Oh, oh, no. Dime otra vez que me quieres y que no te irás. Dime otra vez que eres mía y de nadie más. Que me quieres y que no te irás.